When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Hour three, Lori and Julia here on MyTalk 107.1. We're streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. You can also catch us on the MyTalk app. Lori and Julia in the house. I'm Holly filling in for Rocco for a few days. And again, a busy schedule.
Yes.
Full of gossip, Hollywood, yes, and otherwise.
We're gonna spend a moment just celebrating one of our favorites. And one of the original men on the men wall, and really an original for us, George Clooney.
One of the last movie stars of the
movie stars
of the modern era, because mm-hmm. Johnny Depp has triple asterisks and Brad yep. Pitt has at least one asterisk mm-hmm. and Tom Cruise has triple asterisks.
George has still got a clean
George
slate.
George has a clean slate, no asterisk to his movie
That's
stardom.
Right. So here's a little bit about George. He was born in 1961, May 6th. He's a Taurus. And being a Taurus, you are defined by tact and charm, which I think encapsulates what we know about George Clooney. Mm-hmm. So he, just some fun facts. He just started filming today, The Tender Bar, which tells a story about a bartender who grew up fatherless. And he had a quirky uncle bartender. Ben Affleck is starring in this movie that George is producing. And it talks about a determined mom who struggles to provide her son with opportunities and just... I don't know. That's all I know about it. But it started filming today.
It's not the Julia Roberts.
No, this has nothing to do. Okay. The Tender Bar, it started filming today in Boston, okay? So we know a couple things, and I'm just going to ask you guys true or false on these things or which is the right answer. Some fun facts about George. He wanted to play in what major league sporting conference did George Clooney want to play in?
Holly, you go first with the guess.
Oh my gosh. How about the PGA?
Okay, so golf.
Okay, I'm going to say Major League Baseball.
It is baseball.
Right.
He was recruited but never hired by the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. Now, he grew up...
I can see him in baseball pants.
Exactly. He was a big...
mullet.
He was a big high school athlete. So he was born in Kentucky, but his dad was an anchor, a TV anchor, and they moved to Cincinnati, and they moved to St. Louis, and then he ended up back in Kentucky kind of for most of his life. He wanted and did study journalism when he went to college. He went to two different colleges, Northern Kentucky University and University of Cincinnati. He does not have a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
He got into...
But he did that great movie, Good Night and Good Luck, about Edward R. Murrow.
Yep.
That was great.
Yep.
That maybe was a passion project of his from his journalism.
Could have been. This is kind of a good factoid about him, is that he was originally trying to get cast in Thelma and Louise.
Oh, in the Brad Pitt part?
In the Brad Pitt part.
Believe it.
And yeah. Ridley Scott, you know, directed that, and he... wanted to play the grifter, Brad Pitt. He tried out 5 times for the part, but ultimately lost it to his future friend, Brad Pitt. Wow. He got his big...
Because they're like the same age, basically.
They are the same age. And he said he didn't even want to watch the film when it came out. He had so many strings of rejection when he was first trying out. He got his big break. You know, he was on Facts.
Is that considered Brad Pitt's big break, Thelma and Louise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And he lost out that role. He also was at one point to star in Jack Frost. Do you guys remember the snowman that Michael Keaton played?
Oh, that was weird and awkward.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So he was originally supposed to be in Jack Frost. I liked Jack Frost. It was a kid's movie.
Of course.
It was a kid's movie. I liked the snowmans. I liked
the snowman had eyebrows.
I know. I didn't care. Okay. But he got out of that because he was cast in Batman. Batman and Robin. He also...
Batman with the nipples.
Batman with the nipples. Exactly. He also was the very first guest star on which of these television talk shows? The Arsenio Hall Show, the Ricky Lake Show, or the Rosie O'Donnell Show?
You go first, Rahul.
Look at how she puts the pressure on you. Do you
I'm
love
going
it?
With Rosie O'Donnell.
Okay, Lori, what are you going to say?
I'll go with Arsenio.
It was Rosie O'Donnell.
It was, okay.
And he walked out, and he's so skinny and looks so young, and he's on ER. It's 1989, and he walks out with a dozen long-stem red roses still in their cellophane wrapper with baby's breath and gives them to Rosie, and she looks so darling and cute. And I always thought her first guest was Tom Cruise because she loved her Tommy, if you remember, but it was George Clooney. Of his movies, what do you guys think? The highest grossing movie that he was ever in made $274 million. I've got his top 10. We're talking about George Clooney if you're just joining us. What do you think was his top movie grossing movie ever?
Ocean's 11.
Allie? I'm going with Lori's answer.
Okay. You would think, but it was Gravity with Sandra Bullock. That grossed grossed $274 million, and the Ocean's 11 was $100 million off of that.
Wow.
So Ocean 11, Ocean 12, Ocean 13 went from $183 million being the first one to $125 million to $117 million. But in there was another movie that he was starred in that made good money. Any guesses? It had a boat.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Mm-mm.
No, it's the one with the...
Yes.
The sea.
Yes.
Based on a book.
Yes.
Yeah. The Captain.
Yes, The Perfect Storm.
The Perfect Storm.
And that gross...
That's a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad. And then just to finish out his movies, Batman only made $107
million. Isn't he considered the worst Batman
ever? Pretty much.
And he laughs about it, I think.
Pretty much, I think so. And then Tomorrowland, which was filmed in New Smyrna Beach, Laurie, made $93 million. And then Up in the Air, which I love with Mia, what was her name?
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, I loved that movie.
And then the other girl.
Yeah, and then The Descendants and then Monuments Men. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't really, his biggest blockbuster.
Leatherheads, that was not a good movie.
No, that was filmed in Duluth. Mm-hmm. And some of his other interesting things he hasn't been. Yeah. He does hold the title, the Academy Award record for receiving 6 different nominations for 6 different roles. Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actor. Right. Those type of things. He holds the record.
Yeah. He's a triple threat.
He is a triple threat.
A sextuplet threat.
There you go. There you go. He's related to which president? Washington, Roosevelt, or Lincoln?
Holly?
Thank you.
I'll go with your guess.
I love that you're relying on Holly Ray. Yeah.
I'm going with geography in my mind, and I'm going to say that he's related to Lincoln.
It is.
Yeah.
He's a half-cousin 5 times removed.
Oh, just sad.
So,
that's how you got on Jeopardy, Holly, by just doing that kind of logical thinking.
Thank you. You're right.
Yeah. She's
right
about that. Jeopardy. I hope to one day.
We know you're going to get there. So he was in charge of one of the producers on Ocean's 11. And the year is 2001, and he'd already cast Matt Damon and Brad Pitt, okay? And they were trying to think of who they could else get, who was a big, big name. We're talking 2001. And everyone said, you got to get Julia Roberts to join our franchise, because they knew it was going to be a franchise, and they wanted her to join. Well, he didn't know her.
Oh, really?
And at the time, she's making $20 million a movie.
Right.
2001. He says, so I remember who Julia was. I knew who she was. I didn't know her. I'd never met her. And she's making $20 million a film. And we just talked Brad Pitt into doing Ocean's 11 and Matt Damon into doing it. And we wanted Julia. So I put a $20 bill on a script and sent it to her. And I said, I hear you get $20 a picture now.
That's pretty funny. She read it, loved
it. She was in them.
So and now she acts like she invented them. She's so proprietary about him.
She really is cute about him. Well, it's cute too. Yeah. And so we know that they have been there. We was announced a couple of weeks ago that they're going to be making a movie, Ticket to Paradise.
A rom-com.
A rom-com. So and the last time, so they starred in the Ocean movies together. They also starred in 2016 in Money Monster.
Oh, I like that movie.
Remember, I don't think I ever saw that movie. But this is a bonus point, Holly. If you look up at Lori right now and don't look at your computer, who directed that film?
Which movie?
Money Monster.
That's Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
That's right.
Remember that?
I forgot that she did. But I liked that movie. It was kind of a heist.
It was a heist thing movie, in New York City. Mm-hmm. In New York City.
Is there ever going to be an Ocean where they have Danny Ocean and his sister played by Sandra Bullock? Well, why don't they do that movie?
Because it'll be interesting. Because I just rewatched Ocean's 8, which was the woman cast, female cast.
So good.
And at the end of it, and at the beginning, she is visiting his gravesite. So it'll be interesting how they do that together.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She has a martini.
But remember, maybe Danny Ocean.
We never know.
We never know with him. Maybe he decided to, you know, stage his death.
Yes, we never.
You didn't ever see any body or anything like that.
No.
I would love to see that movie, too.
I would, too. Okay, so there's all these talks about all the memorabilia sales going on everywhere. Okay, so if you wanted to get a signed Ocean's 11 movie script that is signed by Matt Damon and George Clooney, how much do you think it'll run you?
How many of them are there running around?
I'm not telling you.
800,000.
Mm-mm. Lori, this might be our script we buy.
Oh, I'm going low. I'm going to say under $10,000.
Okay. It's $654.
You got it.
I'm almost positive.
Wow.
Unless I read my zeros in the wrong place.
Somebody needs to get on that one. But it would have been like, think how much if it was signed by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I get the ladies from Sex and the City to sign our script?
What? Because we stole it.
Well.
We snuck in the back door. We were
invited in. Julie, don't say that we stole it. When I was going to give excerpts of it to Newsweek before the episode aired, I got into trouble with HBO.
Yeah,
legal.
I know that. I remember that. Yeah. That I knew we were in trouble with them somehow. Okay, so he had sworn off marriage. He was married once to Talia, who's married to John Slattery.
Yes.
Can't think of her last name. From Mad Men.
Talia.
Char?
No, that's Coppola's
sister.
Yeah, okay. Sister. I can't think of her name, but she was on Mad Men, and she is married to John Slattery, but
yes,
they were married like
briefly
2 years in their 20s.
And then he swore it off, and Michelle Pfeiffer and Nicole Kidman both bet George Clooney $10,000 each he would be a father before he turned 40.
Mm-hmm.
They were both wrong, and each sent him a check. He returned the money, betting double or nothing that he wouldn't have kids by the age 50. We're not sure if, you know, he paid or anything.
What happened with that?
Mm-hmm. He was voted.
And that's why he dated, you know, cocktail waitresses and hostesses and sort of like he didn't ever really date any movie star.
He really didn't.
He
dated Renee Zellweger for a while.
Yes, he did. That was it. A little bit.
Kelly Preston very early on in her thing.
Yeah.
He owned the pet pig, Max, for 18 years. It was a gift from then girlfriend Kelly Preston. Mm-hmm. Max is credited with saving his life by waking him up before the Northbridge, California earthquake, which his house would have been, you know, demolished in. That's all I got.
Well, so there's it's a little been George a lovely Clooney trip down George Clooney memory lane. We've got to go. It's time for the Dirt Alert. We'll be right back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Okay, Holly. All right, well, we've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that in the Dirt Alert this afternoon. Let's start with a docuseries that may interest you both, and this would be from socialite Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Oh, yes.
Cat lady.
Mm-hmm. Cat lady. So sources at Page Six say that Jocelyn Wildenstein is in talks to produce a docuseries about the ups and downs of her whirlwind life.
She's I'm here for it. Yeah. I am here for that.
Yeah.
So when is it coming out?
We don't know. So they're just in talks right now. Obviously, her publicist is talking to Page Six because they want the buzz about this project.
Yeah.
Her publicist, Jocelyn Wilden.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Seed's publicist says she really now wants to talk about her life, what drove her, how she built a business with her fiancé, and their craziness of their life together in New York City.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So right now she's engaged, they're not married yet, to fashion designer Lloyd Klein. She's been dating this guy for 17 years. She's 80. He's 54. Mm-hmm. And this docuseries will cover her life and her life now with this fabulous designer.
And she got all her money, she was married to Wildenstein, the art gallery people,
mm-hmm.
I believe is where she gets her, she got like, you know, $150 million divorce settlement. Yep. Or something like that.
Well, she received a $2.5 billion
that's what it was.
In Jocelyn Wildenstein's divorce settlement from her art dealer husband, Alec Wildenstein. She was married to that guy from 1978 to 1999. He died in 2008. And then $100 million each year for the following 13 years. So on top of that $2.5 billion, she got $100 million each year after that. But here's the thing. In 2018, she filed for bankruptcy.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. And then after that, it was discovered after Jocelyn Wildenstein filed for bankruptcy that she had a, quote, unknown stash of cash.
Uh-huh. Under her bed.
8 unclaimed funds accounts held by the state comptroller in Wildenstein's name.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of funny money mm-hmm. going on with Jocelyn Wildenstein. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get to know her a little bit more in this docuseries. Now, I don't know why this didn't happen sooner than being reported right now, but Reba McEntire has a new gig.
I'm so excited for this.
And I feel
like she's been on one already.
Okay, so Reba McEntire is going to star in and produce a new holiday movie for Lifetime called Christmas in Tune. The movie's being cast. Production's going to start in the spring. And Reba says of this movie, I'm thrilled to partner with Lifetime to return to television movies. She said, my fans and I enjoy their programming, Lifetime, and I loved watching the Reba show there for so many years.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Wonderful. And something else that's been buzzed about. Oh, geez, this is one of those things that just keeps on going on forever. The Friends reunion on HBO Max that we were supposed to have last May. Well, David Schwimmer is giving Andy Cohen some of the details on this. And he said that the reunion is going to finally shoot in a little over a month. And Ellen DeGeneres is not hosting this event. FYI, okay. Because she's across the way from the Friends set on Warner Brothers.
Good.
Has the wind gone out of the sails for this project?
I don't know. I know that the kids have discovered that Rachel on Friends, that a TikToker shared it maybe a month ago, that Jennifer Aniston as on Rachel, she always clears her throat before she says something.
Yes.
So people are just going crazy that that they can't unhear it now that they look away.
And Lori, I saw this.
He went on to show footage of Rachel Green starting. She does the throat clearing and anyway, they say it's a lazy acting technique to do that.
have to be honest, I never noticed that before.
I haven't ever noticed that at all.
Well, now it's going to bug everybody who's listening to this, and they're not going to be able to unthink that.
Oh.
Mary J. Blige is the latest celebrity to get into wine. She has a new wine brand out. It's called Sun Goddess Wines, and she's launching it soon. So she said she just wanted to add something to the world. She said give something beautiful to the world during the time of quarantine.
I'm glad a good wine partner approached you, Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why not?
Exactly. And she did an event to talk about this, and that event was in support of the Urban Grape Wine Studies Award, which raises money to have a person of color attend a wine school at Boston University. So very cool there. We'll be able to get that soon.
Very cool.
Circling back to a story that we talked about right at the top of the Dirt Alert update here in the 5 o'clock hour, it has been revealed that Chris Harrison is going to address his racially insensitive comments on Good Morning America tomorrow. It's a pre-taped interview with Michael Strahan. The interview's in can.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you were right. It was, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what Chris Harrison is going to say. But, you know, to Lori's point, you said at the beginning of the show, what is he going to
do? He's got to go all out.
He's got to go all in on his apology. And because ABC, they probably don't want to lose Chris Harrison, the people, the audience. It dropped 1 million people from a week ago Monday to this Women Tell All. But a lot of people don't watch the Women Tell All. But it's never dropped 1 million.
That's huge.
In a week.
Yep, it's huge. They want him to stay, so I bet.
Well, they want him to stay, but like,
they need him to do the right thing.
Something, and what that is going to look like, we'll see. We'll see how. Now, Michael Strahan is not a tough interview.
No.
I would have liked to have seen him with Robin Roberts.
Yep. So what you're saying by having Michael Strahan interview Chris Harrison is they're already kind of handing him a softball.
For sure.
Addressing this, and that they're going to let Chris Harrison say what he needs to say, apologize.
And then maybe they're not going to start filming The Bachelorette at the end of March. I don't know. They'll see what the ratings are. But this whole season is a disaster because, you know, Matt is not the most dynamic bachelor. No. And then he picks racist Rachel, and then finds out everything she is, and and people feel like they know how it's ending.
We do.
Just kind of a bummer for the whole season.
I think
stupid Chris Harrison being, an idiot.
Well,
what are you gonna do? ABC trying to scoop themselves and take care of it.
Yeah. So I'm sure that you guys will be watching it tomorrow.
For
and
sure,
then have
Holly,
an opinion on
I'm
it.
I'm sure we'll play
I
it.
I know, we didn't get a chance to even talk about Brad Pitt on the set of his new movie, Bullet Train, wearing a white t-shirt, looking off in the distance, but he's back at work.
Okay, good.
Looking kind of nice. All well, right. Looking a little battered, but looking a little...
Vintage Scandal.
All right.
Quite the scandal.
We've got a scandal today.
Well, I just thought it would be it was worth revisiting Pamela Anderson's amazing romantic history, because she did get married to her fifth husband. Some people call it her sixth husband, but she married this guy, Dan Hayhurst, which they continue to call him a bodyguard. He's not a bodyguard. He was doing home improvements for Pam at her property on Vancouver Island, and they fell in love.
Yes.
Despite the fact that he had a longtime partner and a child, and he was a stepfather. But the more time he kept spending with her, the more he kept saying, well, I'll just stay on the island. I don't want to come home and infect you, honey. So she ended up marrying this Dan guy. He's 40. And his 5-year partner is like, hey, she busted up my relationship. And I remember when I read that they had gotten married, I was just like, she's officially entering Elizabeth Taylor territory.
Mm-hmm. For a number of marriages.
For a number of marriages, and just how... the fact that nobody will hold their breath or be surprised if it doesn't work out. And she just always has an interesting love life. And if you remember, the first time we ever heard about a Romana Clef novel was in 2004 when she wrote her book called Star.
We loved
it. Somebody helped her write it, and it was loosely based on her life, and it was like, oh, that's what you call a memoir, a Romana Clef, when somebody else helps you write it,
right.
And it's this very kind of fictionalized version
of your life.
So she's actually written 4 books, but she hasn't written the book,
the memoir.
The memoir. And, you know, she's 53 years old, and she's got just an incredible, incredible love life. And it has been a topic of public interest for years, going all the way back to her first marriage to rock star Tommy Lee. And she was his second wife. He married her after he had been married to Heather Locklear, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they met New Year's Eve 1995. They went on their first date 2 months later, and after 4 days, they tied the knot in a romantic Cancun beach ceremony. That was like their first date going to Cancun. They married. That's an orgasmic haze.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
yes, that is. That beats
that beats a lot of other people's orgasmic haze. And before he walked down the aisle with Pam, he'd also then had this brief engagement to this other model. And for her part, she, of course, you know, she'd already been on Playboy. When you think of, if you go to Pamela Anderson's Wikipedia, they call her an actress, an activist, a model, a television personality, an author, because she's done all those things.
Yes, she has.
And she first got known, you know, she was famously at a sporting event in Canada wearing at BC Place, and she was at a BC Canadian Lions football game, and she was in a Labatt's. Like a
beer commercial.
No, she was in a Labatt's t-shirt. And the camera.
I always thought it was Labatt's.
Labatt's. They couldn't go off of her. They're like, who is this gorgeous girl? They hired her as a spokesmodel. That led her to move to LA, which led her to being on the cover of Playboy in 1990 as a Playmate of the Month. And she holds the record, the most Playboy covers of any person. Then in 91, people got to know her as Lisa and the Tool Time Girl and Home Improvement.
Yes.
Then she cements her status by being CJ Parker in Baywatch. So going back to Tommy Lee, so, you know, they had two boys. They had their private sex tape stolen when their electrician said Tommy Lee was blocking him on how much he was getting paid. They sold that. The sex tape that they made on their honeymoon, it was stolen by them. They tried to stop it, and then it was sold. Pam and Tommy Lee's stolen honeymoon. And then they had all kinds of violent altercations. He was arrested. She filed for divorce. He was charged with spousal battery. They really went out in flames when they finally did break up. And then her first major relationship with Tommy, after Tommy, was with this gorgeous model, Marcus Schenkenberg.
I don't remember that
one. And they
were
kind of the same age. They met in Europe after Marcus saved a bird from going down a toilet, and Pamela fell in instant love with him, as you know.
She does.
Animal lover.
Yes, she is.
You'll recognize him when you see him.
Okay, tell me his name one more time.
Good Marcus looking.
What?
Schenkenberg. And they were engaged for a year. They weren't really in the public eye, but he was on her show, VIP, which was a TV show
totally
that she had.
Oh, recognize him. Yeah.
And then 3 years later, after she and Marcus break up, she finds herself in another high-profile relationship with a rock star, Kid Rock. They begin dating in 2001. They got engaged in 2002. Then they broke up. Then they got back together. And they got back together and 4 years later got married in Saint-Tropez. She again got married in an iconic white bikini and a sailor hat. That was in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Kid went shirtless. Pamela said in one of her books that she had a miscarriage later that year, and they had filed for divorce by November of 2006. One of the reasons that has been given is that she filmed that Borat movie and Kid Rock didn't know it.
Curious about it.
But remember, they get married in July of 2006. Right. They're already divorced. And then he writes one of the most blistering, scathing breakup songs ever about her called Half Your Age. Let's take a listen.
Doesn't even rhyme.
Oh, yeah.
She's half your age and twice as hot. It doesn't even rhyme.
No, the beginning of the song, you thought you'd get the last, it's sort of melodically, you thought you'd get the last word. Well, honey, I'm a songwriter, and this is where you end and I begin. I
mean,
just a blistering song that he writes about it. But, you know, Kid has been on the record as saying he had no regrets. I fell in love. I was a complete idiot in love for her, and I just sucked at being married. I don't know. Then she goes back to Rick Solomon, and they've had an on-again, off-again history that includes multiple marriages. That's why some people refer to Pamela Anderson as having 5 or 6 husbands, because they got married once in October of 2007, just a year after Kid Rock at the Mirage. 2 months later, the marriage was annulled. Then they get reunited in 2013, get married. That marriage lasts 6 months. They split up in July of 2014. And in between that, Rick Solomon makes a sex tape with Paris Hilton that she doesn't know about. And he takes advantage of her. And then she dated the French soccer player, Adli Rami.
Yep. Remember that?
And then he was like
married or in a
something but it was a European thing, and they broke up, but they were together for a couple of years, and then she married her longtime friend John Peters in January of 2020, and they split up 11 days later. The marriage gets annulled, and they had dated back in the 80s. I guess they were together for 12 days. And he said that he paid a bunch of money, a bunch of her bills off.
Yeah.
She also had a very, you know, exciting relationship.
We're talking about Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, with Bret Michaels from 1993 to 94. It didn't last that long, but she was in a second sex tape with Bret Michaels. And she said in one of her books that, it was Howard Stern. She told Howard Stern, Bret Michaels likes the buffet. I wanted a la carte. I wanted one man. He wanted a buffet of women. So he, you know, just said they were crazy about each other, couldn't keep their hands off each other. So, yeah, we'll see if anything lasts with this Brad, this Hayhurst guy, the builder.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's no skin off Pamela Anderson's bosom that
he was... He was with somebody relationship.
Else. She can't be. She's got a magic spell. She puts people in a spell.
And Holly, we saw her at Mr. Chow's, and so I've never seen anything so gorgeous in my life. I mean, seriously, she's that stunning.
Oh, get it. Yeah, I really get it.
Stunning. Very, I'm like, Lori, OMG, look. Yeah. She's that gorgeous.
And, you know, she was in the Dancing with the Stars around the world. She's done a lot of, you know, interesting things. She's never dull. And I think Mamie Dornan just, like, celebrated her 94th birthday or something. You know, a blonde bombshell. Yeah.
Oh, maybe Van Doren?
Yeah.
And
I just thought, Pamela Anderson is like, she's just got this intoxicating spell. But
she does.
Yeah, she has written 4 autobiographical books, but none of those books have really gone
where you want them to go, Lori.
She's only 53.
Yep.
Okay, she's entered Elizabeth Taylor territory. She could live a long, long more time. She's a vegetarian. She seems healthy. She could be in Mamie. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot more.
There's a lot of territory left
for her.
There's
a lot of territory. And I always hope her eyebrows can grow back in. But
I know that has always been our biggest thing is her eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. She went all 90s on those eyebrows.
Yeah. And I just always get a kick out of her. But she is a fearless woman when it comes to love.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't work, man, does she dump you.
Yep. Move on.
Or she gets dumped.
Mm-hmm.
But she's moving right along. All right. Listen.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. We'll be right back with the rest of the headlines.
John Mayer.
So John Mayer. Hey, My Talk did a funny, they did a little thing. Tell us you're a Low J listener without actually telling us you're a Low J listener on Twitter.
Okay.
These are the answers. Brian Orgasmic Haze. Mm-hmm. That would be my pot line. Mm-hmm. If I had one, a cannabis mm-hmm. line, that would be what I'd call it. Panda said fake nipples. Mm-hmm. Jackie just wrote, that's so random. Am said, never bring a salad to Lori's Thanksgiving. No one wants to eat a salad at Thanksgiving.
Well, they do too.
Mary, they're cheek implants. It's just random. Larry, vacation boobs. Lara, love is the law. So yeah, that I like that
that's
game.
Fun. Mm-hmm.
And Holly found Mamie Van Doren on Twitter. And damn, Pamela Anderson would like to. We'd all like to look like Mamie looks at 90. She's done some things, but she looks pretty bombshell.
Yeah. For 90. She's wearing a short shorts and showing the cleavage and, you know, looks like she's having a good time in Orange County.
You know who I have forgotten to check in with on Twitter? Not that they're really missing me, but Charo. I haven't seen what she's been doing.
I haven't
doing.
Seen her. You know, our little Leslie Jordan was riding an electrical horse. You know, those giddy-up things, and he's on an electrical horse. You know, those
What's
things.
What's an electrical horse?
Well, those, like, bulls you ride, the mechanical bull.
Oh.
An electrical horse, mechanical bull, same thing.
Dorinda DeReet.
Yeah, Julia's already on her way on vacation. She's like, whatever, you know, electrical horse. Oh, yeah, those.
No, this
He's on a bucking bronco. I love it.
Yeah. All right, so this is the vintage scandal that I was obsessed with last night that I forgot to tell you about today, but I want you... Because last night on Watch What Happens Live, Diane von Furstenberg sat down with Andy Cohen and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she was talking about is she said, well, I was already married to a prince.
Oh, have you met any royalty?
And she said she was already married to a prince.
Von Furstenberg.
I went back and did, and she has two children from this guy.
Yeah.
So I went back and just looked at all the photos and how they were so 70s, Lori.
Oh my gosh.
And 60s, late 60s. Yeah. That would be a great vintage scandal. I never knew she was married to a prince.
Oh, yeah. And then she's been married to Barry Diller for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they have an interesting relationship.
She's got a new book out calling Own It.
Mm-hmm.
And I
love her.
I really do, too.
She's very no-nonsense. And I like that about her.
What did you want to be when you grew up? She said, I want to be a woman in charge.
Mm-hmm.
This is the early 70s, you know? So I just thought she would be someone interesting to do a deep dive into.
She does. She has had an interesting...
She has.
Even the fashion pictures that Andy was showing of her at
signature dress and who were the first people that wore your dress. You know, she said Cheryl Teague, Sally McGraw, Rita Hayworth wore her wrap dress when mm-hmm. she first came out with them in the late 60s and early 70s. But this Prince one, Lori, I was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. They met in 1965.
That's how she got the von Furstenberg name mm-hmm. and has never given that up.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh gosh, those are funny pictures. They're funny looking.
She was very,
she's still stunning.
A very gorgeous woman. She's got like the highest cheekbones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely.
And she did a photo of herself like a few months ago. She and Barry have a yacht and they were somewhere. And she was, this is what 74 looks like in a swimsuit.
It looks amazing.
But I mean, she's just like wanting people to own it.
Mm-hmm.
That women feel ashamed of what they look like in a swimsuit or... In whatever,
right.
whatever kind of a thing, whatever your hang-up is.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Own it. Own it, be it, do it.
Just don't use a magnifying mirror times 20.
Because you posted.
Because that is really, you're like looking at it.
It really is
I
something.
Had one of those in our hotel in Hawaii. It was like this beautiful
bathroom.
Magnifying thing. And I was like,
it's too close.
It's too close. But man, you can really...
you can see the hairs.
You can do some grooming.
Yes, you can do some delicious...
You can do some intense grooming in your eyebrow area.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you can take a look at the sides of your cheeks and see
your chin, see if there's anything sprouting.
Anything, that's right.
Close to the lip. Those magnifying ones mm-hmm. are something.
Yeah, because I also was talking to the girl, Casey's daughter, my bonus daughter, yeah. and she was telling me how much she liked The People versus Billie Holiday. And Holly, you haven't seen that,
no,
have you?
Yeah,
because
no.
I think that came out when you were going on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I go, well, I said, but you watched it with your husband, right? And she goes, yeah. I said, imagine watching that one with your dad.
Oh,
or your brother.
Because
apparently,
yes.
Here's a warning, Holly, so you don't watch this with your dad. A lot of sex.
Yeah.
A lot of sex, and it's very
sexual sex.
My mom said it was, she goes, no, and Tommy is a straight out porno.
Yeah, not going to be watching that with any relative of any kind.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have
Nobody.
Thought about that.
No
that,
way.
That, no.
That
Why would
movie.
You?
Yeah, because I didn't, I mean, we just, you know, anyway, but my brother said, he goes, well, if mom thought she was uncomfortable, why does she think I kept getting up and going to the refrigerator?
Isn't that funny? Instead of everyone just saying, this is too much, let's do this later.
And DJ's...
Everyone sits there through
my
it.
My brother's husband is just singing along with all the music. Isn't the music glorious?
I mean, I did sit through the original Borat in the movie theater with my parents, but that's a different kind.
Right, that was a different kind of humor.
That's a different kind of nudity.
What's the most embarrassing movie that you watch, Julia?
I really can't think of one.
Yeah.
I just think of how embarrassing my dad was at a movie theater when we watched The Champ. And he's like, get up, Champ! I'm just crying and sobbing. My dad was embarrassing. Not the movie.
Have a great night, everybody.
Job done. Off you go.